This program is available on these quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, Pipeline Radio International, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
And welcome to Postcard from Bob Brad. It's snowing, it's snowing, it's wonderful, I love it. And it's just the dynamic duo this week. Hello, Rach.
Hello, hello, how are you?
I'm covered in snow, actually.
I wish I was covered in snow.
My God, it's snowing like crazy. Hang on a minute, we better tell everybody what we're doing. Hi, I'm Eric Wilson, by the way. Messed that one up, didn't we? Base of the glorious Tatry Mountains is where we are in Poprad. And this is a postcard from Poprad, funnily enough. Your alternative look at the news. Down there in Melbourne land, where it's all about crickets and tennis and stuff, it's Rachel Brunson.
Hello, I've been trying to avoid all the cricket and tennis and stuff because it's very close to where I live and it's really annoying. So rather than drive my car, because you simply can't, yes, I've been catching trams everywhere. And I love trams. They're so
nice.
Awesome.
They are nice, aren't they?
And they're fast. They get you where you want to go really quickly. So I took myself on a date today. I took myself to the city and went to see The Theory of Everything.
What's that?
And it was... It's a movie based about the life of Stephen Hawking.
Oh, was that? Yes, yes, I've seen
and
it.
His lovely wife Jane. And it's the one. This is the movie that lovely Eddie Redmayne is wearing, winning all these awards for. And now I understand. It was very good.
Well, I suppose we'd better explain something now, hadn't we? Because Mr. Banks is not here for the first time in his life. Hang on,
the silence is deafening.
No, can we do the stuff? This explains it all. Happy 22nd birthday to the long-suffering Andrea.
Happy birthday, Andrea.
Yeah, duped into marriage. She accepts her lot with great spirit, it has to be said, adding, someone has to look after Lee.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I've now managed to get him to bathe. That's very good, Andrew.
Yes.
Getting him to advance into the 19th century, bearing in mind where we are now, may take a little bit longer, according to Andrea. But Rach and I together, didn't we, Rach? Together? It was us. We persuaded him to take Andrea out on her birthday and not be anywhere around work.
No, and it worked. I used reverse psychology, and it worked. We don't want to play with you. Now, beep off.
Yes. I'm glad you added the beep at that point.
Of course. I am a lady.
Okay. I'm a lady.
I'm a lady, and I also know the rules of broadcasting.
No, you don't want rules. That's a horrible thought. No, matron. No, matron. You're going to have to be the expert then because I am totally lost. Although I do know about the Thornbirds. Mm-hmm. I think it was the same geezer who was in Shogun that was in that.
Is correct. It was Richard Chamberlain. And Colleen McCulloch, one of our best and most loveliest and wonderfulest authors, passed away yesterday at the age of 77. Now, my mother introduced me to Colleen McCulloch. She would hand me the book that she'd just finished with a box of tissues and say, you must read this, and I would. And, of course, I would use tissues with great feverishness. And she passed away yesterday, which was really sad. She was living on Norfolk Island, which is a place that doesn't have cars, don't you know?
Ooh!
They refuse to have them because they don't want all the noise and they don't want all the pollution. And it's a really lovely little community. It's a beautiful island, which is in the north. Mm-hmm. And she was living there for the end of her life, but she would send her manuscripts back to the mainland, mm-hmm, and they would be delivered in hard copies. She didn't like computers. She did everything the old school way.
Yeah.
In a custom-made maroon manuscript box that was inscribed with her name. It was very elegant. very elegant, but she wrote some beautiful books, and everybody is very sad about it in Australia because she's really one of those icons. So we hope she's writing a great novel up in the clouds.
What a wonderful idea, which you just reminded me of something I forgot to put here.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the telly the other day, there was this guy on a motorbike, and where was he riding to?
Heaven.
Darwin.
Oh, no. Well, that's the opposite.
Yeah, I know. He was riding to Darwin and seeing these and talking to these complete fruitcakes on the way there.
Yep, it's all just a bunch of fruitcakes on the way
barking
up and on the way
back. Mad.
Oh, yeah, they're if they're heading towards Darwin, they're really barking. Yeah. If they're heading away, they probably recently became barking and are hoping to find a cure.
There was this couple in this guest house place.
Uh-huh.
My word. I mean, A, they were hippies.
Uh-huh.
And B, they were just on a different planet.
Were they naked?
No, but I think they would have been had they had the opportunity.
Yeah, they probably are when the cameras aren't there. There's a lot of nude people there. And I can't say I blame them because it's really hot.
Probably.
And it's sticky. It's humid. So, you know, everything sort of clings to you, including, you know, what remains of your will to live.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, what they call it up there, what they call it is, particularly when it's wet, and when it's the rainy season and when it's building up to the rainy season, they call it the suicide season. They call it mango madness. They call it going tropo. And everybody literally loses their mind.
Really?
It's frightening to live there. The only reason why I didn't is because I'm really medicated.
I love it. Oh, my Lord. Anyway,
but I was sane enough to know that I didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, but whilst you're all sticky and horrible up there, the snow's getting worse here.
I know. And, you know, that's frightening. And sort of, I'm envious, to be honest with you. Oh, I've only spent a little bit of time in snow in my life because there is snow in Australia, but it's a real trek. You've got to make a holiday out of getting there.
Actually,
and I'm not a skier, so I don't go.
Actually, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a stupid test I've been doing on a very, very old laptop. And I do mean probably 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
Really, really old. And if you go on to Ustream, which is where you get all the streaming video, and if you put in webcam poprad with a space, you will see images of snow on an 8-year-old laptop, webcam working.
See? And it's really old snow then.
Well, at least it's not like the English one in a minute. Anyway, we move on. Because in the same sort of vein, as it were, this year the UK's been celebrating or marking the funeral of Sir Winston Churchill 50 years ago this week. A very unusual funeral, which took place because it had just about the equivalent of a state funeral for a politician, which is, as I say, very, very, very unusual. And they recreated the entire thing with the barge going up the Thames, remembrance service in Parliament and Westminster Abbey. And do you know what? He's one of those which I would describe as the British bulldog. He's got that
And he even looked a bit like one.
Yes.
And that's good. He looked like one. It goes to show you what sort of an impact he had, because I'm 43 years old and I live really far away.
No, Rachel, you're not. You're 23.
I really am. If we chop one of my limbs off and count the rings, we can know for sure. I knew exactly who he was and exactly what impact he had in the world, and it's amazing that I would know that living all the way over here, when there's some of my own history I didn't know. So this shows you how enormous this man was, and he was a large figure of a bloke. But
you've got something in common with him. Your mates.
My mates.
Yeah, you are mates. Because one of his greatest passions was painting.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Well, then, yes, we are mates. And although my painting's probably more accidental than anything else. But
no, there's some really good ones. Actually, if you're on Facebook, you should have a look at some of Rachel's paintings. They are rather nice.
Thank you very much. And they are available for sale.
And we didn't rehearse that at all. No, we didn't, actually, as it goes.
No, actually, we really didn't.
No. But anyway, a lovely statesman, a wonderful man, and just thank the Lord for the entire world that he was around at the time he was around in. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation now, that is for sure.
Well, it's him and Alan Turing, I think.
Well, okay. There's some good people there. But anyway, we commend Sir Winston Churchill and thank him as well. Great debt of gratitude that we owe the man. Media meltdown this week. What a... I nearly said a naughty word there myself. let me just give you a clue, boys and girls, because himself's not here, so we can't defend him. The Daily Mail, Sky News. news.com.au, that's your lot, Rach, you're guilty. The Telegraph, the Los Angeles thingamajiggy, the South Wales Argus, the Irish Examiner. What did they all do wrong? Facebook's been down, it's been hacked. No, it wasn't. Why didn't they just pick up the phone and talk to the PR person at Facebook and find out what the truth was?
Because the PR person at Facebook loves talking, and especially about when something hasn't been hacked. They want everybody to know that it's all safe. So, you know, they want to get that message out and very loud and clear that they were not hacked.
Yeah.
That they just didn't pay their ISP bill. But it was funny, actually, because every time this happens, and it's happened a couple of times now, but every time it happens, it's the middle of the night over here, so we don't really notice. The sad and the lonely notice, because they're always up and really sad and lonely. But like, the most of us don't notice because we're asleep. But this time it happened during the day here, and everybody lost it.
I know. Twitter went bonkers.
It went absolutely bananas. To be honest with you, I didn't notice because I was doing something else. But I did notice later. Everybody said, "Is anybody's Facebook broken? Hashtag OMG." You know.
Yeah, like hello.
It was like, get a life, dude. Hashtag get a life. It was really hilarious. People really rely on it quite heavily. But I think the other thing too, when you've got applications that rely on logging into Facebook to access them, I think that was one of the, and people trying to date on Tinder, that was, you know, that was terrible for them.
Bless. It's one of those weeks, boys and girls, it really is, because yet another one, the US National Weather Service. Oops, got it wrong. The snow didn't show. Rather like, I don't know if you remember this years ago, Rach, but there was a massive tornado that went through the UK. And I'm trying to think when it was. It was certainly nearly 30 years ago. And the man on the weather forecast, there was some question raised about whether there was going to be a windy night or something. No, it's going to be absolutely calm, like a mill pond. Nothing's going to happen. And serious.
Oops.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up thinking, what the heck was that? There was this enormous crash. I was in a hotel, and a massive tree fell on the roof of the hotel. It was literally ripped out the ground. Everybody's looking around. The phones weren't working. Nothing. There was no communications at all. No internet then, obviously. And so I bodged an aerial up because the TV system in the hotel was out because all the aerials had been smashed. So I made a TV aerial out of a couple of coat hangers, as is your want. And we got this sort of really weird picture. It was fading in and fading out because it was analog television then. And there was a news anchor there saying, "Don't worry too much, it's just a tornado." Hello?
You can't use the word don't worry much and tornado in the one sentence.
No, I know. I tell you what, people all thought it was a war because everything was
out. You know, War of the Worlds, I would have thought that War of the Worlds business was good because that was that 30 years ago or a bit longer? Not the original, the one that David Essex did.
That was the 70s, so that'd be about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, the aliens have come. Now your new overlords, because they're going to sort stuff out.
Anyway, that's what I would have thought. The bottom line is everything went into meltdown in New York City as well. Nothing happened. Planes were cancelled. In fact, Lee would have been going to, wouldn't have been here anyway because he'd have been in America. And he phoned me up. He said, "I'm stuck at the airport." I said, "Hold on a minute. Let me just go and have a look at the New York air. Sorry, mate, your flight's cancelled." He said, "Well, they haven't told me that." I said, "Well, on the board in New York, your flight's cancelled. Why don't you go and talk to someone?" And he came back 2 minutes later. He said, I can't do a bleep that long. Lots of bleeps. And he said, "You're right." I said, "Yeah, I know. I was just
And for nothing, it would seem.
Yeah. And yet now we've got massive snow coming down here, although nothing compared to Bratislava in the east because it's coming – sorry, in the west. It's coming from west to east. And in the UK, they're all in a panic.
Yeah, there were three flakes and everybody lost it.
It's like, funny. You know, a couple of centimetres of snow, about an inch, and everyone's gone, well, completely bonkers. Well, you must have seen it on Sky News.
Yeah, I guess the reason why I laugh, and I don't mean to laugh, I really apologise, people in the UK, I'm not being trite. I laugh because I live in a country that the weather is extreme, that you don't just get fire, the whole place goes up in flames. You don't just get a flood, the whole place floods. So we live in extreme weather. If you're getting rain, you're getting heaps. If you're getting fire, you're getting a lot. Mm. If you're getting, you know, if you're getting something, it's all very extreme. So when it happens, and to be fair to the UK, they're not used to extreme weather like that. It's pretty much a stable, steady thing all year round, and it fluctuates a little, but not like it does here. So I don't mean to be disrespectful, but really?
Really? No, I'm with you on this, Rach, because they, you know, it's like, seriously, the train company the other week was on the television here, and they apologised unreservedly because it was snowing, and they apologised unreservedly because a couple of trains were 20 minutes late.
Wow, they're so polite.
No, and the point is, they just kept them going. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm saying this with a rather naughty schoolboy look on my face. The UK issues a yellow snow alert.
Now, I don't live in snow, but I know what that means. Or do I?
No, really, because when they issue the amber alert, it comes up as yellow on the screen. And so you can work that out yourself. the forecasters have said it's going to be 9 inches of snow in Britain with a thunder snowstorm.
Huh? A thunder snowstorm?
Yeah, a thunder snowstorm.
I want to see that.
I do as well.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. And they're sort of worried about, you know, sleet and snow coming down in London. Well, they can't even get the drains unblocked in London to make the trains work. Apparently there's about 1,000 of them being cancelled in just on a week because of some stupid drain that got blocked. Anyway,
and if the drains don't work and the snow melts, isn't that problematic?
I got a vague feeling it is. But anyway, Manchester rail service has been cancelled. Yorkshire, Manchester airport's already been closed. Flights were suspended in East Midlands Airport as well. By the way, the Poprad Airport's still open, and we're only a tiny town of 42,000 people. But the airport's still open. They are. You're quite right, Rach. They just can't handle anything that's not normal.
No, and, you know, I can't say I blame them because they don't have to experience it very much, but I would have thought people like the people that run the transport, et cetera, and the drains would have emergency contingency procedures that they can fall back on. I mean, isn't that just a bit of a no-brainer?
Well, perhaps we've got an idea there, Rach.
Well, I just, you know, no, how about let's all put on our common sense hats?
We've created an idea. No, really.
I love creating an idea.
This could be the sensible suggestion of the week of the programme.
Oh, good, because we like to have at least one.
Now and again.
Yes.
Australia understands extreme weather.
Mm-hmm.
Slovakia understands extreme weather.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we tell the people that run stuff in England to get into two groups? Half goes to Australia, half comes to Slovakia, and we can fix all their problems for them.
We can. We don't know about snow, but we know about drainage because we have a lot of water. Absolutely. And you guys know about snow. So between the two of us, between the two nations, hands across oceans, yes.
Nailed it. Somebody who was nearly nailed this week was the Russian ambassador in London. He was summoned to the Foreign Office because, this just beggars belief. Mm-hmm. Two Russian long-range bombers flew over the English Channel on Wednesday.
Now, why?
Now, not only did they cause all sorts of things to happen, which could have been really catastrophic, RAF Typhoons were scrambled as well, but also civil aviation was messed up, thank you, Russia. By just sort of like, oh, that's all right, we'll fly through that bit, don't need to tell anybody, off we go, bye. And they just, it was just ridiculous to think that...
It's almost like, I don't know, it's like, I'm still from the Rocky and Bullwinkle era, and I get really suspicious about Russia. But are they trying to start a war to, you know, boost their economy or something? I don't know what Putin's thinking,
Do you know what I think it is?
What is it?
Look at me.
Is it this way that, you know, when they kept their flotilla came into international waters when he was here for the G20?
Yep, same thing.
It's the same thing, this kind of chest-puffing, peacocking. It's just really boring.
Yeah, it is incredibly boring. So, Mr. Putin, can you save a lot of money, give it to the people in your country that haven't got any money, and stop flying your aircraft in other people's airspace that you don't need to go to anyway?
Putin, your head in.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the KGB to kick my door down.
Yeah, it's all right, I'm closer to them than you. One country away and we're there. Wouldn't have thought of that. Yeah, one country away and we're there.
Sleep, scramble.
Yeah. Anyway, we now move to Australia as we try and dig ourselves out of this one, or swim ourselves out of this one, because a guy has been totally lambasted in Australia this week for catching a 3-metre-long bull shark off the Gold Coast. What's happening there, Rach?
Oh, this is just, again, a non-story. It's really stupid. This fisherman has caught this 3-metre, 200 kilograms. It's really heavy.
Flipping heck.
He's caught this shark,
That's two Erics.
It's two Erics, and you know what? Soon it'll be three Erics.
This is true.
And because you're ever shrinking, but he's a commercial fisherman. He's taken his girlfriend out on the water, and they drop some lines in, and Australia Day, you know, having a good time, and they land this shark. Now, first of all, it's the exact time of year where there's heaps of sharks around, heaps of them. Bull sharks, if in the shark family, the bull shark's probably, you know, less dangerous than the sharks that you hear about when surfers get taken and stuff like that. So maybe not as serious a shark, but still a shark.
Yeah.
This guy's got a license to catch shark.
Yep.
He's just put his photos up on social media like you would if you were catching a tuna or a, you know, a big game fish. And then he doesn't just waste the shark. It goes to the, you know, to the fish shop, and it's eaten by people because that's what we sell at the fish and chip shop. When you ask for a piece of flake, you're generally getting shark.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's a non-story. And, of course, you know, all the tree huggers came out and went absolutely mental. And I just think to myself, you know what, this is a fishery. It's not outfished. Our fisheries are really, really carefully guarded.
They're very strict, actually, aren't they?
Very strict. And you can only catch certain things. You can only catch certain sizes. You can only catch certain things during certain times of the year. You can only catch certain species. You can only catch certain subspecies of said species. So it's very carefully policed. This guy did nothing illegal. He did nothing that goes out of the scope of his license that he carries as a commercial fisherman, which is how he makes his living, thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
And people went bananas, and it was really a non-story. And as he said, it's just another day at the office. It was just a regular day for him. But because he posted pictures on Facebook, people who don't know what they're talking about immediately just see the image, don't know the facts of the situation, and went absolutely ballistic on this guy. And it was just completely out of order.
Is that our theme of the week this week, Rach? People who don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, clearly, because, you know, we're surrounded by them this week. They just, we got the weather, we got the dude with the drains.
Hello, we got, and
we got the,
Rachel,
the greenies.
We've got a word.
We've got a word.
We've got a word.
What's the word?
The one I introduced to Australia.
Numpty.
Yes. We've got a bunch of numpties.
The bird's the word.
numpties. We nearly got a numpty of the week for having a go at Mr. Merchant. Staying in Australia, Philip Hughes and Sean Abbott, which Rachel briefly recapped the story, will be totally linked forever, which they are from the tragic circumstances in November. But something happened in Sydney this week, which I think is rather nice, Rach.
Yeah, it was the Alan Border Medal. Now, if anybody knows anything about cricket, Alan Border was one of our finest cricket captains ever. And they've now named this great medal after him. It's like the best and fairest of the year cricketers.
I'm trying to give... in the UK, it would be the equivalent of either Fred Titmuss or Ian Botham.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Yep.
And so every year there's medals handed out to people for brilliance in cricket. And Sean Abbott, who was who delivered the fast ball that ended up killing Philip Hughes, he got back in the game 2 weeks after that happened, which I was really pleased about because we were worried about him being a bit messed up in the head, but he wasn't. And he took away the Bradman Young Cricketer of the Year award. And it just so happens that Philip Hughes took that award in 2009. So they're inexorably tied by tragedy and also by something that's a bit nice. And I just think it's a nice way to sort of put that story to rest.
Yeah, and I will add to that having done motorsport, not cricket, I was rubbish at cricket even though I tried, having done motorsport, I can tell you seriously, I don't know what happens, and I genuinely don't know what happens, but when you are in a sporting environment, and I think this gentleman's got the same inside him, when something happens, you are sad about it. You are.
Mm.
But the sport drives you on. And I always remember my mum looking at me as if to say, "What? What?" Because there was a very serious accident on the raceway before we were on the dummy grid just waiting. And I said, "Well, the only thing you can hope, Mum, is he hasn't broken his neck because of the way the car went over." And she looked at me as if to go, "How dare you?" Like,
because you said it just like that.
Yeah, because when you're there, everything's so matter of fact. Because if you have one concern, you can't do it. You couldn't.
Well, you
lose
your nerve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You totally.
I think, people who are elite sports people too have got a special thing inside of them that makes them laser focused, and they're very, very ambitious, and they have to be in order to win and be an elite sports person. They have to have a mental fortitude that regular schmoes like me just don't have. So they react differently to tragedy, and
exactly.
I think that's why he was able to pick up the ball 2 weeks later. And, you know, I watched him in a little bit of a – I don't watch cricket a lot, but Brett Lee was bowling his last game and he's been really important to cricket.
Brilliant.
And
well,
plus,
Rach,
he's really attractive.
Oh, I knew that was coming. We've got to take a break. Rach, we're there already. End of part one. We'll be back in part two, boys and girls. Do not go away.
Eric, give me a break.
If your dream holiday is 2 hours from the UK – perfect for children and teenagers, young couples and the older visitor. Ideal for the physically active and for those who just want to unwind. Aqua City is the destination for you. Described by the Travel Channel as the place that will soon be on everybody's lips. Be ahead of the crowd and the envy of your friends, but still enjoy a home from home. Come to Aqua City Poprad, the world's leading green resort.
Hi, I'm Lewis.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm Ewan.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Together, we are all Train to Game winners.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame
and take your first step in a career into the gaming industry,
please go to www.traintogame.com.
That's www.traintogame.com.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame,
that address again,
www.traintogame.com.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.